Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, phone lines open, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your shot here in a moment. Couple of other just quick observations from the 42-19 win over the Titans to get to 8-5. They tried one of those flea flickers again, hand the ball off to the running back, pitch back to Jaden. The last time, remember, the pitch was off and Jaden sort of corralled it. This time, I think the pitch was fine from McNichols back to Jaden, and Jaden just bobbled it, and that hurried him up a bit where he threw underneath to Noah Brown. I won't know, and no one will until you see the All-22 if whatever they were looking for on that play was open. They lined up. It looked like perhaps trying to take a shot to somebody short, or it may have been another one of those, you know, quick screens. But anyway, that was one of the other observations from the game. On the fumbled kickoff return that Tennessee had, there was an illegal block on Tennessee. Pollard fumbled. On Tennessee's fumble, not the kickoff return, when Pollard fumbled, there was a brutal face mask that they just flat out missed. And they called a penalty on Tennessee. So that turnover probably shouldn't have happened. And then there was a 3rd-and-2 on Washington's 5th drive in the first half, and they didn't reset the play clock. Then it looked like Washington wanted to take a timeout, but they didn't get it. And instead, Tennessee was called for 12 men in the huddle on defense. I think that's a bad call because Washington subbed with 15 seconds left on the play clock. That gives them, Tennessee, a chance to sub, and they call them for a 12-man on the field situation as they were subbing. I think Washington got a break with that one, although they, I think, would have gotten the timeout instead. All right, before we get to the phone lines at 301-230-0980, Denton, what were your big takeaways from the game?
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Takeaway number one, he can play in the cold. I think that was answered yesterday. That was a big concern.
Was it really that cold? 42, sunny, no wind.
He hadn't played in that before. Didn't seem
I think
to be.
He played once in Utah at 39.
I mean, didn't seem to be much of an issue. He looked pretty good. Yeah. I love that him and Terry are developing a great rapport. I mean, Terry has 9 touchdown catches already. Yeah. At one point, you know, Jaden had thrown 14. 9 of them were to Terry. Now, he threw a 15th one to Zach Ertz. He's the only other guy, I think, that's caught 2 passes, 2 touchdown passes from Jaden. I thought it was really smart of Kliff to get Terry involved early. All the conversation this week was getting him involved, getting him on the right side. It was poetic that his first catch was on the right side.
Right.
His first touchdown, he had lined up on the right side, and he crossed the middle of the field.
Yeah, that was slot. Yeah.
The offense looked as good as it has looked. I mean, I would say since maybe that Cincinnati, the Cincinnati game was like, I felt like the peak where they just could not be stopped. The difference is they did it against a good defensive team in Tennessee. I mean, they made, I didn't see Jeffrey Simmons outside of the, when he was trying to fight Sam Cosmi or when he was making tackles down the field. And if your defensive tackle is making tackles down the field, it means you're going down the field on offense, which is very, very positive. I'm still a little shaky on the defense. I mean, the Titans, I mean, God almighty, Will Levis is not good. There were guys dropping passes left, right, and center, it felt like. So I'm a little shaky on the defensive backfield. Hopefully when Marshon Lattimore returns, or I should say arrives for the first time in uniform, that'll shift a little bit. But offensively, they were as strong as we've seen them in a long, long time.
Yeah, they really were. Terry's touchdown was really, it was the right side, but it was in the slot, which remember, you know, we saw Terry with Scott Turner in particular used a lot in the slot. That's where you can get some true mismatches with Terry and get him away from the star corner. And look, there was a mix of everything defensively from Tennessee, and nothing worked. I mean, they started walking somebody into the box at one point. That didn't work. Really good point on Simmons. He's on the stat sheet, but you could see they frustrated him. There were a lot of double teams. There were a lot of second-level blocking. I'd love to see how many snaps they ran from 12 personnel, because it seemed like Ertz and Bates were in the game for almost, you know, at the same time for a lot of the game. And, you know, Bates is an excellent blocker. You know, they've got good blocking out of their tight ends. Yeah, I mean, it felt good. So you think that's the best offensive performance since Cincinnati? The Cardinals game and the Browns games and the Giants game second go around were pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to choose from is the best, yeah. But I think considering who they were playing and like right from the jump, when Brian Robinson took that run 40 yards, you know, home run to me, that I thought was like the, all right, this team is focused. Because they did that by the interior sealing off T'Vondre Sweat, Jeffrey Simmons, and then he was gone at that point. They just came in with a sense of urgency that I don't think I've seen them have in a long time.
Yeah, and don't we have to give Quinn and the staff some credit for that. You know, I mean, we talked about really after the Pittsburgh and Philadelphia games, because those are two legitimate losses. And look, the better team in Philadelphia on a short week won the football game, even though Washington did have a lead into the fourth quarter. The Dallas game was the one where we all had to question what we had seen in the first 9 games, and justifiably so. But this group going into this bye week after a 13-week-long, you know, big-time, you know, season in which there's a lot going on over those first 13 games. They finally get to their bye week, and I thought they were ready, like you said. They were ready both sides of the ball. Defensively, swarming. Yeah, big. I mean, it's nice to take the first drive and go, quick throw for 10, quick throw for 10, and a 40-yard touchdown run on your third play. Three plays, 59 yards. You are in the end zone at 7-0. And Tennessee, we talked about this last week. They have really served up so many opportunities for their opponents this year, and they did it again yesterday. All right, your turn. What'd you like? What didn't you like? Phone lines are now open at 301-230-0980. Let's start with Joe in Springfield. Joe, have at it.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good, Joe.
All right, let me start with my like, didn't like, and side notes. First is Terry McLaurin. You know, Kevin, when he had that 86-yard touchdown against Dallas last week, you notice that he was on the right side of the field. You notice yesterday they rotated him back and forth, left side, right side, and it mixed it up a bit. And that's what, I mean, Terry didn't really say anything about it, but you could tell that he likes doing that more, and they've adjusted to that. The offensive line, Kevin, I've gone back and looked at this. This is now the fifth time this season that we have, the offensive line has paved the way for over 200 yards.
Yes.
For the season. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, and give the offensive line credit. I understand they went toe-to-toe with Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. They have, the offensive line has been a plus this whole season. I mean, there have been some flaws here and there, but they have definitely deserve a lot of credit for what they've done. The defense had a good afternoon. Frankie Louvin and Bobby Wagner, I mean, I praise them every week. I mean, they're always over after the ball. The kicking woes, Kevin, which I didn't like, continue. I mean, I understand they were two, like a 40-plus and 50-plus yard field goals, but and luckily, we made all six extra points. But, I mean, that first field goal miss kind of got Tennessee back into the game to make it a two-score game. But other than, I mean, it was kind of already out of reach for them. And the side note, we're 8-5 going to the bye week. Nobody expected us, I mean, back in March or April, even in the preseason, that we would be this good. And things are looking up. We got tough tests coming up against the Saints, rematch against the Eagles, hosting the Falcons, a rematch against Dallas. But who knows what happens from here on out? And Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, and Joe Wood Jr., give them credit. I mean, we definitely were getting criticized after the last couple of weeks, but they responded. And I think that Dallas loss definitely got them frustrated. So we'll see what happens after the bye week. But take care, Kevin.
Thanks, Joe in Springfield. Yeah, I mean, I think, again, just to emphasize, for me, they won a football game. That was huge. But they looked good doing it. Like, we talked last week, and I think I said at one point, look, you just have to win. I don't care if it's 12-10. You just have to get to 8-5 and get to this bye week and kind of regroup. Because I was concerned. You know, Denton and I talked all last week. Tennessee was only a 5.5-6 point underdog versus what they had been favored by over Dallas for a reason. And that reason was they had been an outstanding defensive team pretty much all season long. They just turned, their offense just turned the ball over too much. And yesterday you got the mistakes, you got the drop passes, you got the turnovers. I mean, they had 11 penalties for 85 yards in a half. So they're a self-destructive team, but you buried them for that. And you did it with outstanding offense. The defense was great, too. I don't want to minimize the defense as if it didn't play an outstanding game. Both sides of the ball were outstanding. They were ready for this game. And it just feels so much better going into this bye week, 8-5, but having the most recent feeling being what the first nine games, or what eight of the first nine games were, which is, wow, this offense can be unstoppable at times. Let's go to Frank in Charlotte. We do have a line open, 301-230-0980. If you want to jump on, Frank, go ahead.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon, Kevin.
Hey,
great game yesterday. How you doing? What I did like was Terry, of course. That's the obvious thing, and we're not going to go into that. He was outstanding as usual. JD, of course, we're not going to go into him. He was outstanding as usual. But what I really liked was the line. Their combo blocks, the way it was reaching the second level. I mean, it was completely different from the Dallas game. They were getting blown up in the Dallas game. And another thing I like was Lucas at right tackle.
Yeah.
I don't know why that offensive line coach, play your best five. Wiley is not one of your best five. Lucas is your best five. So you have to play your best five, okay, to keep it moving.
I think Wiley's been pretty good in the run game, Frank. I really do. I think Wiley's been a really good run blocker for them this year.
Yeah, but his pass pro, he's on skates a lot. He's on roller skates a lot, and he gives up the inside shoulder a lot, and he gets beat on speed rushes. So, but yeah, he is good. He is good in the run game. Yes. Also,
Luvu, yeah.
He was outstanding. Luvu, yes. And Mr. Sandstrill, he was outstanding. And the one thing I want to see from Kingsbury, I'm going to say he was okay. I'm not going to say I liked it. I'm just going to say he was okay because I need to see more consistency. I don't want to see that laziness he had the last three games as far as not moving Terry around, keeping him on one side, you know, not moving to the X or to the Y, to the Z position. I need to see more consistency of that. It shouldn't take national media, you know, to call him out or fans to call him out that Terry needs to be moved. He should be able to see that on film. He should have seen that on film back in the Pittsburgh game. So, also, what I didn't like, that penalty on Cosby. I thought that was
Good point.
I thought that was Jeffrey Simmons. Cosby didn't do nothing, but yeah. Cosby gonna stand up for himself. You know what I'm saying? So, but I didn't like that penalty at all. And that's pretty much it. I thought it was a really great game. And one more thing I didn't like. I didn't like that Luke and Sennett are not getting enough snaps. Now I like Ertz. He's okay. He's the type. He's gonna catch and fall down. No yak. But in college, Sennett was known as the yak king for his tight ends. And he needs to get more playing time. And it's as simple as that. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Frank. Appreciate it. You know, there's been a lot made of where Terry lines up. I am not as worked up over all of this as many of you as you are. I think... I don't know who it was that wrote the story last week. It may have been Nikki or Sam with the Washington Post. And basically, McLaurin, you know, led the league in lining up on the left side. And we saw his first catch on the right side. We saw the touchdown, you know, the one that he caught from the slot be right of the center position. I mean, they were the best. They were arguably the best offense in the league over the first nine games with Terry lining up consistently on the left side. I think it's probably an overrated issue. I really do. Again, I would point to the opponents that they faced as much as anything else for their downturn. Now, the Dallas result was an outlier. It was a dud. There's no doubt about it. But if there is benefit, and we know there's benefit to moving a really good receiver, especially one that plays on a team without a really obvious solid number two, you know, that is legitimate, and that'll be a need in the offseason. There's some benefit to motion. There's a benefit to moving them around formationally. But they were top two or three offensive team over the first nine games with him lining up exclusively or almost exclusively on the left-hand side. I'd have to go back and look at the snaps. He's still lined up on the left side a bunch. The touchdown on the slant was a left side slant. He had a couple of left side slants and a couple of zone, you know, stops where he was hit, you know, on the left side. And, you know, over one layer and in front of another. So I know we talk about it, and, you know, a lot of people really get worked up over it. Cliff Kingsbury may have decided this was the week to move him around. I don't know why. Maybe it's the defense. But I would be surprised if, like, all of a sudden Terry's split in where he lines up moving forward. All right, more of your calls when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.